Good morning, everyone. Shkoyach for coming out to learn this morning. I know it's Thanksgiving weekend still, and people are enticed to go play football on a lovely morning like today. So shkoyach, and maybe people went away to Florida or elsewhere. So shkoyach for all of you. Big thank you to Avi Hirsch for sponsoring this morning's breakfast. Lila Nishmas's grandfather, both grandfathers rather, who's yartai's both today, Reb Yitzchak Menachem ben Reb Yaakov and Reb Moshe Yehuda ben Reb Yochanan. Neshamos should have an aliyah. So we're going through continuing Hilchos Brachos and Shulchan Aruch Simen Reish Beis Siv Dalad. Today's topic is not that nogeya. It's going to be focusing on Shemen Zayis, the bracha one says on olive oil. And incidentally, there are other topics come up, namely Ikar Tafel and the bracha on Refuah. We're going to ignore those a little bit because those are going to be addressed a little bit later on in the Hilchos Brachos, but we will touch upon it slightly. But the main focus for today will be the bracha one says on Shemen Zayis. There are some interesting halacha maisa that comes out from this topic. We'll get there at the end of Mirtz Hashem. So the Gemara begins on the end of Lamed Hem Beis and Maseches Brachos. And the Gemara all the way in the bottom talks about Guf Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel V'chein Amar B'Yitzhak Amar B'Yochanan Hashem and Zayis Mevarchan Allah Bori Pri Ha'etz. The halacha is that we paskin that one says Ha'etz when eating or rather drinking olive oil. So Gemara wants to know exactly what the circumstances are when one would say Ha'etz on Shem and Zayis. Seichi Dami, what does this mean? What's the case? Ilema, the Gemara wants to know, if you're talking about a situation to kashasi le, when you're drinking the olive oil straight, then the halacha is ozuki mazik le. It's very damaging. It's mazik a person. When a person drinks or eats something that is mazikim, he doesn't say a bracha. How do we know that olive oil damages a person? Because the Braisa tells us elsewhere, the Tanya, hashose shemen shel chuma, somebody who drinks chuma, mishalim esakaren veinu mishalim esachomesh. The halacha is, a farmer who has fruit, he has to take chuma. He takes chuma, gives it to the kohen. The chuma is either 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, depending on ayin ra, ayin yafa, or beinonis, depending how much he wants to give. That's the range. Midaraisa, all you have to give is one piece of the fruit. But the minog, the chacham created these different shirim of 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. Now, what types of fruits do you have to take chuma on? So midaraisa, everybody agrees, the pasuk says, degancha tiroshcha vitzarcha. Degancha refers to the five grains, tiroshcha refers to grapes and wine, and yitzarcha refers to olive oil. So everybody agrees, midaraisa, those three items you have to take chuma. And then there's a machlokes we showed him between Rashi and Rambam, whether or not shar peros are chayim midaraisa or only chayim midirabanan. So if I have a fruit tree in Eretz Israel, everybody agrees I need to take chuma and meiser from the apples, five apples, an apple tree. The question is that a chayim midaraisa or a chayim midirabanan? And when it comes to vegetables, Yerek, everybody agrees it's a chiv midirabanan when it comes to vegetables. But those are three grades. The degancha, tiroshcha, vitzarcha, midiraisa, according to all. Yerek, everyone agrees it's dirabanan. And all other fruits, it's a machlokes, whether it's diraisa or dirabanan. So lach is, so shemen zayis is vitzarcha, the pasuk says. So everyone agrees it's a chiv diraisa to take chuma from zaysim, from olives. So let's say a person that set aside chuma, whether it's given to the kohen yet or not, but it was set aside as chuma. And some other non-Kohen goes ahead and drinks the Shemen Zayis straight. So normally the halacha is you have to pay for the olive oil that you took, and you have to pay an additional chomesh and a penalty, a midiraisa penalty of 1/5. But it's only if you eat something or drink something that's normally eaten. Olive oil, apparently the Braisa tells us, you only pay a keren, you pay the amount you took from the Kohen, you took the amount you stole from him, you had no right to eat it, but you don't have to pay the additional chomesh, the additional penalty when drinking olive oil. Why not? So if you look at the Rashi here, Rashi explains that the reason why you're Meshalim Esakar and you pay the amount, let's say it costs $50, this bottle of oil that you drink, it costs $50. So you have to pay it. Kishar Mazik Eschaver B'mamon. If I damage your bottle of Coke, I need to pay back what I took. When it comes to the Chomesh, says Rashi, Vein Meshalim Chomesh, you don't pay the penalty of 1/5. The Gavi Chomesh, with respect to Chomesh, Achila Ksiv. It says Achila, as the Pasuk says, Rashi quotes, V'ish ki yechal kodesh bishkaga. When you eat kodesh, kodesh in this context means chuma. When you eat kodesh bishkaga, you have to pay a additional Chomesh, the Pasuk says. And the drush is prat lemazik, as opposed to being something that's mazik you. That's not Achila. When I eat some olive oil, when I drink olive oil, that's not considered Achila. That's considered being mazik myself. Then you're not chayiv to pay Chomesh, that's not called Achila. Now, as an aside, the Rabbeinu Yonah in the back says a slightly different understanding of why you're putter from paying the Chomesh. It's not because of Achila, but rather he says because there's no Hana. You get no Hana when you drink olive oil. Sounds pretty much the same, but it's not really the same. I don't know if we discussed in these series at all about the big machlokas in Birchas Hanenim. What the nature of Birchas Hanenim? I think we mentioned it once as an aside. What's the machlokas? How to categorize Birchas Hanenim? What type of bracha is it? Exactly. Birchas Hashanah, Birchas Hadah is one category. Shach Hadah go hand in hand. You're praising Hashem, you're thanking Hashem, but it's called Birchas Hadah. You're thanking Hashem. And the other type of understanding of the bracha is? It's a matir, right. It's a matir. So that machlokas, I think, hinges upon, really, machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Yonah hinges upon how they understand a Birchas Hanenim. Rashi, and this is Rashi all over Maseches Brachos, he continues to connect Birchas Hanenim to Birchas Hamazon. Everybody agrees Birchas Hamazon benching is a Birchas. What type of bracha? Birchas Hadah. Birchas Hadah, no question. And the fact that Rashi continues to connect the Birchas Hanenim to Birchas Hadah, the fact is, we learn, according to one opinion, we learn from a Kal Vachomer, if you say a bracha when you're full, certainly you should say bracha when you're about to eat something. So that's a Birchas Hadah, and Rashi invokes that concept a lot. So therefore, you need an achila. Just like it says, v'chalta v'savata v'rachta, the bracha benching is after you ate, so to Birchas Hanenim is about when there's an achila. So that's why Rashi focuses on achila. But if you understand that Birchas Hanenim is a matir, so it's being matir what? Being matir hana. So Rabbeinu Yonah, who assumes in many places it's about a matir, so he focuses not about the achila. He doesn't care about a maisa achila. He cares about there's hana. So whenever there's hana, that's when you have to have a matir to permit yourself to have hana. But when there is no hana, like in the case of Shemen Zayis, there's no hana, there's no benefit when a person drinks olive oil straight, and that's the reason why there's no bracha. So everybody agrees that there is no bracha when drinking olive oil plain. The question is why, and that really is totally on the nature of how they understand Birchas Hanenim. Either way, what comes out from this brisa is that it's clear when a person drinks olive oil, it's mazik himself, and that's why he doesn't pay the chomesh. And the brisa continues in the Gemara to say, if a person's hesech shemen al shel shum, if I take a kohen shum and rub it on my skin, then you pay the full amount of mishalim es hakeren, and also mishalim es hachomesh, I also pay the penalty of 1/5 because I used it the proper way, in a normal way. So then what's the case? How come we said before that one would say ha'etz when you drink olive oil? It can't be drinking olive oil straight. So the Gemara explains, it must be the ka'achil lei ayyadei pas. When you're eating the olive oil with bread, you find at some restaurants, you'll dip the bread in some olive oil, you eat them together. So in that situation, you're going to say ha'et on shemen zayis, but that's not true. Because ihachi habi lei pas ikir v'hu tafil. The pas, the bread, clearly is the ikir that I want to eat. And the fact that I'm dipping in the olive oil simply to enhance the bread, make it taste better. So then the klal is, zeh klal, the Mishnah quotes, kol shehu ikir v'ima tfeila mivarach al ikir potes ha'tfeila. Whenever you have something that's ikr and something else that's tafel, the ikr covers the tafel. Now, just to throw out to you as the chakira, anybody know with big machlokas, big chakira that exists in the Rishonim, when I say a bracha on the ikr and I'm exempt from saying the bracha on the tafel, what exactly is machlokas? What does that mean I'm exempt from the tafel? Is it that the bracha that I say on the ikr is also chal on the tafel? So when I say hamotzi, it's also chal on the shemen zayis? Or are we saying the shemen zayis does not even need a bracha at all? There's no need for bracha at all. What's a nafkamina? Nafkamina is, let's say I eat them out of order. I really want the bread, and I have the oil to enhance it. So I first put the oil in my mouth first, to have the bread afterwards. So if the point is that it's exempt from a bracha, so then there's no need to say a bracha, because it's completely exempt. But if it's at the hamotzi, it's chal also in the shemen zayis, well, I didn't say a bracha to allow me to eat that olive oil yet. This also happens to connect, if you're following, whether it's connected to birchas hanenim versus birchas sherech v'odah.
What's the smart to say that just because it became tafel to something else, here in the oil case, because it's damaging, you could hear that it wouldn't need a bracha at all. But in another case of tafel v'ikr, why would the tafel not need a bracha just because it's tafel now? It's still something be'etzim. And what's the smart to say that side? The other side is sardik. Okay, so you're covering it with the other bracha. But to say no bracha at all, where's that?
I'm not sure. It's a good question. I guess when we get to the sugya, I'll think about it a little bit more. But it's a good question, why would it not require bracha? That's certainly how they understand it, but what's the svar to say it doesn't need a bracha? I'm not sure.
How about the mezik?
But let's say it's not mazik. Let's say it's you're having jelly and crackers, we were talking about before. So the crackers, lechor, let's assume right now the crackers are going to exempt the bracha and the jelly. So why? If it's about birchas hodah, so maybe you could say that all I need to do is give one birchas hodah. I don't need to say two birchas hodahs. So it's enough to have one. Not that it covers the jelly or covers the olive oil. It doesn't need one. One birchas hodah for one ma'isa eating is enough.
It sounds very similar but, to saying it covers it.
Right. So you have to... It's a good question. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure. I have to think about it. Okay. So those are some two interesting machlokas. Again, we're not going to focus on them, but it's good to have, my Rebbe always said, it's good to have chakiras in the back of your mind, because when you, then you're more sensitive to when you see a certain Rishonim, you could pick up on what they're trying to tell you. If you're not sensitive to the chakiras, it's hard to understand where they're coming from. Okay, let's go weiter now. So the Gemara says, continue, so what exactly is the case where I would ever say ha'etz on drinking olive oil? It can't be when I drink olive oil straight, because that's mazik me. That's not considered roi lachila. And it can't be when I'm having olive oil with bread, because the bread's the ikker, and I would say hamotzi, I would not say ha'etz. Se'ela must be, the last line of the Amud says, the kashasi le ayideh nigrom. It must be where you're drinking the oil through ayideh the anigrom, which Rashi says, some type of food that's mentioned throughout Shas, some type of vegetable soup of some sort. You have soup with it, you put some olive oil in it together. So maybe that's where you would say ha'etz, when it's mixed with the vegetable soup. The Amar Rabba, Rabba Bar Shmuel tells us, anigron maya de silka. It's some type of water of a vegetable, of tardin. What do we say, tardin? I always forget the different vegetables. Radishes of some sort?
Beets.
Beets, is it? Okay. So you have the, it's a cooked beets. And ansigron, mai dekula, ansigron is when you refer to any other type of vegetable, when you cook the vegetable, and that liquid, that soup that's generated, that's called ansigron, which is dekula shalka, other types of cooked vegetables. So either way, that's the case where you have vegetable soup mixed with olive oil, then you would say ha'etz on the olive oil. Gemara says, wait a second, that's not so clear. In Cain, if that's the situation, havali anigron ikar v'shem antafel. When I'm having my vegetable soup, the olive oil is completely secondary. It's just enhancing my vegetable soup. And the vegetable soup is the ikar. I would say hadama. I wouldn't say ha'etz on the olive oil. As the Mishnah tells us again, t'nan zeh klal kol shehu ikar v'imo treila b'varech al ikar u'potes a treila. So Gemara finally concludes, you know what the situation is when you would say ha'etz on the olive oil. Halcha b'mayaskinan b'choshesh b'grona. When you have a sore throat, your throat's bothering you. The Tani, the Brisa tells us in Hilcha Shabbos, Hachoshesh Begrona, one who has a sore throat, Lo Yerenu B'Shemen Tchila B'Shabbos. He cannot gargle with olive oil on Shabbos, because that's an issue of refuah. You can't do refuah on Shabbos. And then becomes refuah, there is a Isser Shchikas Simamanim. Rashi points out, there's a concern that you might come to grind your own herbs and your own medication, and that's an Isser Derais of Tochen if you grind it. So therefore, asked all types of refuahs across Shabbos, without, you know, certain exceptions, if a person's a chol shein bo sakana, a chol sheish bo sakana, they're for the heterim, or a person, let's say, eats food normally and happens to be that food is also beneficial, but if you eat it normally, that's okay. But once you gargle, that's clear you're doing it for medical purposes, and that would be aser. So the Gemara Shabbos says, if a person's choshesh begrono, he's not allowed to gargle the olive oil. Aval, what he can do is, no sein shemen harbe, put a lot of olive oil, letoch anigron, into this vegetable soup, ubalea, and swallow, and eat the soup regularly. It looks like he's doing an achila. Healthy people do this all the time. It happens to be, it's also going to work as some type of soothing for his sore throat. So Gemara says, pshita. If the guy is eating vegetable soup, and in the vegetable soup, rove, his vegetable soup is actually olive oil, so we say it always goes based on the rove. If rove is olive oil and the meat is only vegetable soup, of course you'd say ha'et. What's the chiddush? What's Rav Huda telling us that you say shemen zayis? You say ha'et when you drink shemen zayis. Why says it's not so clear? Because you would have thought ma'u desema kevan de lerfuah kamechavin. Since when the guy puts all the olive oil is, he's only doing it for the purpose of refuah. Lo livrech leklal. There shouldn't be any bracha on refuah. When you take medication, when you take Tylenol, when you take Advil, you don't say a bracha on the medication. So there shouldn't be a bracha here either. Kamash Mulan Kaven de Isle Hana Mineid by Bruche. Since he's getting Hana from it, it has some flavor and taste to it. Therefore, you would say a bracha. Now, just to point out to Lashitasa before you go explain what's going on here, Rashi says here, if you look at Rashi de Isle Hana Mine, when you read this Gemara, it's all about Hana. Hana is who? Rabbeinu Yonu, he's mentioned before. Rashi adds in a very important word here. Rashi doesn't care so much about Hana, he cares about Achila, like we said before. Because Rashi, again, is always about v'chalta v'savata v'rachta. The word achila is used in the context of benching. Benching is the model for birchas hanenin as well. So just like you need achila for benching, you also need an achila for birchas hanenin. So look what Rashi adds in a very key word here. He says, de'is le'hanah minei, levad harfua yesh lo hanas achila. They're very important. He adds in the word achila. He has to figure out how to read the Gemara here. So he words no hanah of the actual ma'isa achila, because he needs a ma'isa achila. So it's a very important line, I think, that Rashi adds in here. As opposed to Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, I didn't look this up this time, but I'm pretty sure he does not add in the word achila. He just reads it straight as the fact that there's hana here. That's enough to require bracha. So we're not going to focus on refuah today either. This is a sugya, it's a sif later on, it's, I think, Simi Reish Dalet or so, where they talk about when a person says a bracha on refuah, whether one should and what cases. So that's a different topic, but this gemara is very important for refuah halachas. What we're focusing on is the bracha on shemen zayis. So it comes out here is, if a person, let's review, person who drinks shemen zayis plain, there's no bracha at all, because it's mazik a person. When you drink it, or you have it with bread, you don't say bracha either, because the hamotzi on the bread covers the bracha shemen zayis. When you have it in the context of vegetable soup, then it sounds like, let's say you're sick, or versus you're not sick. What exactly is the ikar part? Is it what your intentions are? If a person's sick, he's drinking it for the shemen zayis, then it would be a ha'etz. If he's healthy, just likes the chicken soup, then you would say adama. Or does it depend on how much shemen zayis is there? Because the Gemara says when a person's sick, he could put shemen harbe, a lot of olive oil, in the vegetable soup. Let's say I'm healthy, I just happen to like a lot of olive oil in my vegetable soup. Will I say ha'etz in that case because a rove is olive oil? Or no, since I'm healthy, I really care more about the vegetable soup, even though there's mostly the shemen zayis. So that's a machlok, as we're going to see in the poskim. Okay, let's go now to the tour. The tour in Siv Dalad.
Does it matter that you can't really kill the olive oil?
When it comes to ikar and tefillah, it does not matter. Just like in any other recipes that we have, you look whatever is the rove and the ingredient, even though I have no idea that it came from whatever the ingredients are, it all goes based on rove. Now again, we're not going to focus that much on ikar v'tafel because this is really a topic later on discussed in Shulchan Aruch, but we have to touch upon it a little bit here. So the Tor paskins, that when it comes to shemen zayis, a person says ha'etz, and only a situation where he has a sore throat, where he's using it for the purposes of refuah. But if he eats it with bread, as we said before, the bread becomes the ikar. And let's say he drinks it plain. If he drinks it plain, olive oil, what's halacha? It's mazikim, and what bracha would he say? No bracha. The Torah says there would be no bracha at all when you drink a plain. Then the Torah quotes from Rabbeinu Yosef, who says, in Lav Dafka, it's not only a situation where a person has a sore throat, but Orcha D'Milsa, most likely a person who would be drinking a lot of olive oil with vegetable soup would be a person who's sick. But Eina Chanami says, Hu Adin, if a person, let's say, is healthy, and he puts a lot of olive oil in his soup, he would say Ha'et as well, because it all goes based on a rove. And not about what your intentions are, not about Machshava, it's not about the guy's intention of refuah or not refuah. It's all about the chepza, the actual vegetable soup. How much olive oil is there versus how much vegetable soup? And that's how Ben Yosef Paskins brought down the Torah that it goes based on roof. But then he quotes in the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gadolos, who says, not true. The only time one would say a bracha on olive oil in a vegetable soup is when the guy is sick. It all depends on the machshava. If he's sick, so then he would say a ha'etz on the shemen zayis. And if he's healthy, I don't care if there's a lot of shemen zayis. No one who's healthy drinks it for the shemen zayis. They drink it for the vegetable soup. And that's how the Bahag paskins. Now, there's another machlok, because I know it's a little bit confusing here. But then they bring from the Rambam, who says, even when a person drinks the olive oil plain, so the Gemara never told us what bracha to say. The Gemara just says it's mazik you. So we assumed if something's mazik you, you won't say any bracha. But the Rambam holds that not true. Even when the shemen zayis is mazik you, the Torah quotes the Rambam, you would say a shahakal. Figure what exactly is that machlokas? What's a machlokas when you're drinking something that's mazik you, whether you say no bracha at all, or whether you would say a bracha of ha'etz? Shahakal, yeah. What's a machlokas about? Any thoughts?
You have enough from it?
Yeah, so how does that connect if you have enough from it or not?
Because you're supposed to make a bracha if you have hanah on any item.
Right.
So even though it's bad for you, if you're still having hanah from it, then it doesn't...
Right, so I think this is true. If it goes, let's say a person who is very unhealthy, he's supposed to be on a diet.
Right.
He's high cholesterol. He's eating a nice steak and wine. Does he not say bracha because it's going to be mazikim? No, of course he's going to say hagefen on the wine. He'll say shakal on the steak. Or let's say a person is a diabetic and he's not supposed to have sugar. So is he not going to say bracha when he has candies?
This sounds more like it's only mazik. There's correct. No beneficial. With the it's steak, whatever you have, other, uh-huh. you have things that are going good. It's otherwise
it's objectively mazik.
Huh.
Right. Basically, Yosef doesn't want to accept that. He says that it doesn't make sense what they're saying.
Right, so he reject. On what grounds does he reject it?
He rejects it and says that it can't be because it's mazik. You don't make a bracha.
Right. So he's assuming it's mazik. So this is a part of the question. Let's try to figure this out. So I would think like the Rambam would be the shackle is because it's hana. As it goes down, there's some hana to it. I don't know if there really is hana, but there is. I think the Rambam even explains that because there's hana. I think he writes that there's hana involved.
How are we qualifying what hana is?
Right. It's.
It's subjective. Right.
Ah, so I'm not sure.
Oh, actually, it's not subjective, right?
But there's a machlokas. The Gemara in Chulin, the end of Giranasha, has a machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan versus Reish Lakish, I think, about is hana defined in general as hana's grono or hana's meyav? Hana's grono is the throat, really the taste, or hana's meyav, the fact you're filled up in the end of the day, that I'm full from eating. That's a machlokas that exists there. We pass on Rabbi Yochanan, I think it says hana's grono. It's the flavor and the taste out of the mouth, the palate. So that might play into, that might also be, you have to define hana in general. How do you define hana?
Well, you say psamim and you're not filling yourself up, and that's hana.
Right.
Psamim is filling, you have a reach.
Well, that's an exception.
Right, it's a different type of hana. That's a hana of the reach.
But you're saying bracha and it doesn't fill you, and it's hana.
Right.
That's nothing to do with filling.
Right. It could be different types of hanas.
But and you could do another one. You look at a. Why do we? I was thinking of different reads. So if you look at the Grand Canyon, or if you look at the ocean, you're supposed to say a bracha.
Right. So those brachas are not typically brachas hanenin. So those are brachas bracha shevach v'hoda.
But. Okay. Right.
But I'll give you, if once you're on that topic, there is a machlokas when it comes to the bracha of Borei Mirah Ha'esh. We say about the Shabbos, a Havdalah. What type of bracha is that?
The Shevach
Hodah. Shevach Hodah for what?
For creating fire.
For creating fire. It was from the birthday. So I have a question. So when do you look at, I assume you look at your nails. When do you look at it?
After
you say the bracha or before?
Before.
Before both? So they're all right.
Right.
So, so what's going on? So there's a discussion in Pesachim, the Tosos, and there's a, I think Sefer Mechtam in Pesachim, they have machlokas, whether or not Birchas Borei Mireish is a Birchas Shevach Voda, like most of you assumed, and others think it's actually a Birchas Hanenin. You get Hana from it. If you look at the Sugis and Brachos, they talk about you have to get Hana from it. Now, is that Hana? Is it look at light? Is it about Hana? Or no, the Hana is just a sheer, and when could you give Shevach Voda for it? Really, it's not about Hana. But you only give a bracha of shevach vada once you see that it's working. I check to see if it's working, and then I can give the shevach vada. While others say it's actually a birchas hanenin, it's a matir. It allows me to get the bracha, the hana, from the candle.
Why do you do that every time you use fire or electricity?
They ask this question. Yeah. Tosa asks the question. Tosa's in Pesachim. I could find it now. And he actually, it's young. I look it up right now. Why not? I have one actually there. Okay. He asks this question. Why don't you say this all the time? Every time you get hana from this. I need to remember where this is, though. It's two places. Here we go. So look at this question. Okay, you're mechavin to Tosos and Nun Gimel Mubez. Hiksha Rabbeinu Yosef. I happen to be the same Rabbeinu Yosef here in Tur. That Lama ein mevarchin b'chol shah shenehene mimena. Why don't you say a bracha each time you get hana? Hana, he says. Hana from the bracha of Mirehesh. This is mamish the birchas hanenin. That's the sugya of birchas hanenin. Vitirati answers, "Hani mi le kishugufo nene." Only when the body gets hana, aval shar hana lo. When other hanas, where your body's not getting hana from the light.
What does it mean, body? Like heat. Let's say heat. You're cold.
Right. So we're talking about the fire in terms of the light, not the heat of it, but the light. We don't talk about the heat. When we look at the nails, the idea is to be able to see. It's a birchas aria, not a birchas hanas chamav. It's an interesting point that exists, but the way they define it is about ria. So, according to him, there is no hana in the guf. As opposed to eating, the body gets hana. Ria is not considered hanas guf. And therefore, that's why it's not every single time. It's only once a week. Now, you have to still understand why once a week. Why not once a month? It seems very arbitrary. So, there's a lot to talk. There's a different sugya, but there's a lot to talk about here.
And why not the summon then? Some should also be just once a week. But if you smell something during the week already.
No, so Bissam is already Hanas Guf. That goes into the body. That's a Hanas Guf. The body, yeah.
We do once a month on the moon.
He goes on to this point. He says, not quite the moon, actually. That's another topic. We'll talk about the moon in a second. But he says, Afagav d'mevarchen al or Hashemesh b'chol yom. So why do we say new bracha on the sun every single day? It's not hanazgav. He says because each day, mishum shemeschadish b'chol yom, the sun renews itself each day, each morning it renews itself. As opposed to fire, it doesn't renew itself. The fire always exists, even though this fire is new, but the concept of the fire always exists, night and daytime. So therefore, we need to do it on a weekly basis. It's good enough to just say the birchas nenin, and that's a matir for the entire week. It's a big kiddush, a very big kiddush to explain. It's not the pashup shop, but the tosfos. I'm just pointing out, so that you have such a concept of the birchas nenin. Now, just we're going on these tangents. When it comes to kiddush levana,
just on that tangent, when afkamin of ladino, would you have to shut your lights off when you make the bracha?
100%.
Right.
It's very good. That one afkamin is you have to shut the lights off to get hanah from it or not. That's one afkamin. Number two is what you guys spoke about. When do you look at your nails? If it's a birchas nenin, you can't get hanah until you say the bracha. So you'd have to look at your nails after you've said the bracha. But a birchas sherech vada, you only look at it. You say the bracha after you've got the hanah. When you see the lightning, you hear the thunder, you say bracha afterwards. Yeah. So first you look at it, and then you say the bracha. So that's why many, Mike is one of them, who he heard a shir from me once about this in his house actually many years ago. So you look at your nails first, say the bracha, and then look at it a second time. There will be mekayim both dinim of birchas nenin and birchas sherech vada.
It sounds like the sherech vada more because if someone doesn't have a fire, he's not going to do it over again. He missed it. So it's really shayach on the zman.
I'm asking that the pashup shot is birchas sherech vada. That's pashup shot. Exactly. The halacha is if you don't have fire, you don't have to go chasing for it.
Which sherech vada where you see something that man was involved in, an element of the creation of it?
Where else do you see that?
What do you mean? Meaning, in other words,
benching.
If you have a fire, there needs to be a maisa from the other, right?
Benching. Benching. I made bread. Rav Soloveitchik asked the question, I heard of Yaakov Kamensky also ask this question, why do we only bench on bread as opposed to when we have fruit or any other type of food? Why dafka bread? So he explains, because when it came to the bread, the farmer, I did everything. From the beginning, from the seeds and the planting and the plowing and the reaping and the sowing and the sifting and the grinding and I did everything. So I think I did the entire process was by myself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had nothing to do with this at all. So I did everything, and that's the only time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to remind us, we have to remind ourselves that really even this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us, gave the potential in these foods and gave us the ability to help him in creating the world. As opposed to when I get a fruit from the tree that's ready, very little work on my part, it's very easy to see Hashem. There's no need for a reminder. But only when I dafka have done every single stage, well, I think I did everything, then you need to be reminded really it comes from Hashem. So that's the situation, the Birchas Hoda. Even though the whole Maisa, every stage was done by me. So. Okay, just you mentioned Kiddush Levana, and we're going on tangents today. When it comes to Kiddush Levana, the similar machlokas exists as well, whether or not it's a Birchas Shevech Voda of the moon, which is Pashup Shat, or it's a Birchas Hanenin as well. So this comes out, actually came up recently here in the Shul, about what stage you have to say the Bracha. What stage you say the Bracha after day one? Or day three or day seven. That's machlokas, three opinions that exist in the Shulchan Aruch. Day seven is based on the Shari Ora, Api Kabbalah, we wait till day seven. Most shuls around here don't wait till day seven. The Minhag is Sfarim do, wait till seven? Okay.
Doesn't waiting till day seven violate this reason?
If you hold a Mikra Din, it's day seven, so then.
Day seven of the Moyah, yeah.
But how could that be?
If you're holding it to be the first time you can do it.
So if it's day one versus day seven, the Rambam Paskin's day one.
From the Molad, right?
From the Molad, exactly. Day 24 hours from the Molad, and the other opinion is Paskin 72 hours from the Molad. So that machlokas is based on the following. The Rambam assumes, and it's very clear in the Rambam, that it's all based on a Bircha Shevech Vada. The moment I see that little sliver, I get ready to see the new moon, I give Hashem Shevech, but there's no Hanah from that. You can't get any Hanah from that, it's too small. The other Rishon assumes it has to wait till 3 days, or 72 hours, where it's significant enough, that it's producing enough light for me to get Hana from, so that's why you have to wait till 72 hours. The same achlokas exists, Birchas Hada versus Birchas Hanenin, when it comes to Kiddush Levana. So we happened 2 weeks ago when we said Kiddush Levana here, Matzah Shabbos, we accidentally said 20 minutes too early. We were told the wrong molad, so we said 20 minutes too early. And then, but b'di'evad, so lichachila, we wait till 72 hours, but b'di'evad, we could be Somech on the Rambam that allows you to say it even after right away when some molad exists.
Why is he doing to show you getting anah? Like more barmereishi using the nails. Especially nowadays, you can see your sitter. All the lights out. There's no
anah. It's true. You actually look at the toughest paneach.
Has a tzitzis. Some people do.
Oh yeah, they look at the tzitzis. Yeah,
the dinyan kabbal to take out your tzitzis to check the knots by the. But that's after the
bracha. It's mashma from the Ragachever. On his chidushim and the Rambam, it sounds like if you live in a place where it's very lit up, you may not be chayav in kiddush levana. Now we don't pask in that way, but that seems to be a shita that exists in the Tafnes Paneach.
Is it just the light? I'm saying, in other words, the shelach or don, and even if you and if you're going to say that it's that I'm getting hanaf from it, there are plenty of hanafs from the moon that are not related to light, tides and so on. So, right? I mean. But I'm saying, like, the whole, you know, it's tide, gravity is also in terms of, you know, there's an element of gravity from the moon. There are other things in the natural order that are related to the moon, so it's not just...
So it's not, that's not direct hana. I don't think I would consider the tides being hana, or cheese being related to the moon being hana. I think it's direct hana from the moon, I believe. Okay, back to the topic at least. Okay, let's go to the Shulchan Aruch now. See how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Dalet here, Shemen Zayis, when it comes to olive oil, im shaso kemo shehu, if you drink it plain, einu mevarech alav klal, mishum dazuku mazikle. He paskens that one is to not say any bracha at all against the Rambam, because it's mazik you. There's no hana involved at all when you drink olive oil, and therefore there's no bracha at all. Vim achlo im pas, if one eats it with bread, ein mavarach alav de pas ikr, mavarach ala ikr, upotes atvela. So if you have it with bread, as we saw in the Gemara, that the bracha becomes the ikr, and it covers the bracha on the shemen zayis. Now, vim shaso, the third case, if you mix it, mu'rav im me slika, if you mix it with some vegetable soup, so then the halacha is that sha'az ain't a mazik, it's no longer damaging to you when you drink it with olive, with chicken, vegetable soup rather. Adarabba, hu moil lagarn, actually it's beneficial for the throat. In muchoshish begrona, if he has a sore throat. Havale shemen ikr, umivarach ala boy praets. It turns out the olive oil becomes the ikr in that case, and you'd say ha'etz on the olive oil. Vim'ainu miskavin lefuah, let's say I'm drinking it not for the purpose of refuah, but simply because I like it. El achila, havle anigron ikr. It turns out that the vegetable soup becomes ikr. Veinam bavarach ela al hanigron. Then you only end up saying a bracha on the vegetable soup and not on the olive oil. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Now again, it's not so much halach lemaisa that comes out of here. There is a big discussion in the poskim about ikr v'tafel, as I said before. Is ikr defined by my intention, or is ikr defined by rov versus not rov? That's a machlokus found in the poskim. I'm going to leave that aside for now. I do want to point out here. In the Dirshu has some interesting notes here related to other examples of where it's mazik that I mentioned before. So there's a discussion on the side here, a chola sukaris, in other words, a person who can't have sugar, a diabetic. And if he eats sugar, it's going to be mazikim. Would he say a bracha? So we're discussing that before. So on one hand, he gets a nut. It certainly tastes nice. There's certainly hana for them. But then there's it's mazik a person. So the halacha is, Rav Nissen Karel's paskin, that one does say a regular bracha. Even a diabetic who it's damaging for him, he would say the proper bracha on the candy. Because during the achila, there's hana in the mouth. The taste is very good. And it's very different than shemen, where, as you're pointing out before, there's no hana for shemen at all. It's objectively, shemen's eyes is not beneficial for anybody. That's the difference. They say maybe a person shouldn't say a bracha. This is a different topic, but just going on this Inyan, maybe a person shouldn't say a bracha on having sugar if he's a diabetic because there's an issur involved because he's putting himself in a dangerous situation. So how do you say bracha when a person's eating something asr? And based on the concept of boteh berach nut Hashem, which the Gemara says when you say a bracha after you steal something, if I steal something, I can't say a bracha on something stolen, and I can't say a bracha on something aser. How can I say a bracha here on something that's aser? So they quote from Rabbi Yoshua Paskins that that's only referring to the bracha achrona. If he's completed, if the kid is full, or the adult is full from the sugar, he can't say a bracha achrona afterwards. But the bracha rishon is necessary because he still gets hana while he eats it. That's an interesting distinction.
Can we make a bracha rishon on chazer?
So that's it. We're going to get to that topic in Shir 9, a whole discussion about davar machal sasuris. Normally not. But let's say a person needs to. Someone wants to... What?
Horse.
Horse.
More common.
Horse, yeah?
Yeah, because a lot of iron...
Uh-huh. Interesting.
In France, they eat horse on
it. Yeah, but...
Regular butcher.
Wow.
Okay.
Dogs. No, but it comes up. But sometimes you need medication, and the only form it comes in has, let's say, gelatin, which is another discussion whether gelatin is really usher in the form of a capsule.
That's medication.
Ah, right. So gel, right? It's still considered medication, but it's still derech achila. It's not derech achila. But on that topic, Rebelsky Paskin, since the gelatin, you could take gelatin, these capsules, put them in warm or hot water, it will immediately melt and go back to the original form. He thinks it's still considered a davar achila, and one's not allowed to have them. Unless there's a real serious no other option. Rav Schechter told me that he thinks, and since in the current form, it's basically plastic, it's not considered a chefta shel achila, not a chefta shel ochel, one's allowed to have the capsules with gelatin, but he acknowledged that it's best to avoid that if possible, but if there's no other options, it's not that big of a deal, he thought. That's when it comes to gelatin, it's not derech achila, it's not really considered a chefta shel achila. He said, if there's no other option, certainly best to avoid that, because Rebelsky is Rebelsky. He even acknowledged Rebelsky, you know, you should be choshish for Rebelsky. I'd be choshish for Rebelsky, he says. But if there are no other options, he wouldn't go so crazy about it because he doesn't think Be'ikah is really a problem of gelatin in the capsule form. What were we just saying? How did we get to that? So that's a discussion later on. Let's say a person, I think someone once had to have, their child had to have octopus base milk, is that right? Right? So, I don't know exactly the details of it, but based on the stomach situation, the octopus milk, not milk from octopus, but in the milk, octopus don't make milk. What?
The formula is made out of octopus.
The formula is made of octopus, some type of octopus, which of course isn't kosher. So the child was old enough to say bracha, if that were to happen, then he might have, or she might have to say a bracha on that because it's something that they need. If it's for a refuah, you might have to say a bracha on
why
that.
Why are they making anyways a bracha on something that's a davar fu only?
Because it's drinking, it's drink, it's a derech achila, and there's hanah there. So, if it's needed, that's a discussion you didn't get to yet. I think Shir 9, we're going to get to that. But that's discussed, eating something usher because you need to.
Like if you're drinking pedalite, like, you know what I'm talking about? The pedalite, you drink like a cupful. You would probably say a shahakum.
Right, because it's considered a drink.
It's a drink.
It's like we're having Tums. Tums like a candy.
If a person's drinking water, just like they don't want water anymore. I have to have a lot of water to get the voice. Once you don't really want the water anyway, you're not supposed to make another bracha.
That's another discussion. Water's a whole other sugya. We'll get to water. That's Shir 8, I think. We'll get there. Okay, let's... we have 2 more minutes here. So one other thing they talk about, apparently Bizman HaZeh, the Shemen Zayas that we have is not so damaging to a person. Someone told me once before that it's very healthy, apparently, to drink olive oil straight. It's healthy, yeah? People drink olive oil. I don't know what it's beneficial. Teaspoon of it. Mm-hmm. You drink it straight. So I guess in France they do this, right?
Healthy people.
What?
Healthy people.
Okay. I haven't seen it in America so much, but I've heard certain people do drink olive oil straight. And it's not damaging to a person. So if that's the case, do you say bracha now on this? So Rav Ozner Paskins, that even though it's still considered a mazik with regards to bracha. He doesn't think it changes. Since the Gemara has established that Shemen Zayis is mazik you, that halacha still remained, and you don't say bracha according to Rav Ozner. Others say this as well. I thought I saw someone who's argued on this. The best advice to give, though, is if a person wants to have Shemen Zayis, and if it's not really mazik a person, best to say shahakol on something else and have that in mind to cover the Shemen Zayis. That's the best etzah. Okay, either way, so that's the topic of Shemen Zayis. Mirza Hashem will pick up. Yeah.
With the Brisa Mishnah and Truma. It says you don't make the
right. So they say the Metzias now that we have Shemen Zayis is different. They put it through a process and they remove all that which is being mazik us anymore. Now it's able to be eaten, plain. So therefore, they think maybe the halacha changed. But they don't want to go against the Gemara, and Bryce would say it is Mazik Yum, so therefore they say best to say Shaka on something else and have in mind the Shemen Zayas. Okay, stop here.
Thank you very much.